All right, open your Bibles this morning. I believe I have something interesting for you. Open your Bibles to Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. Now, the title of the message is it from heaven or is it of men? Is it from heaven or is it of men? In Mark 11:15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? House of prayer, preaching, worship. But you've made it a den of thieves. A den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it. And they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, you see how that started? Verse 15, they come to Jerusalem. And our Lord did these miracles and cleansed the temple, declared my house is a house of prayer. And the Pharisees and scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. Now go over to verse 27, same chapter, Mark 11. And they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, same place he was in a few days prior to this, sometime prior to this, and had driven out the money changers and the con men, and there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they say to him, By what authority do you do these things? By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority to do these things? Now, what follows in these next two or three verses? What follows in these next verses is a revelation. I've read this scripture many times, and I've looked at it many times, but wasn't able to see in it what I see in it relative to this present day. You get the picture, don't you? Our Lord spoke with authority, acted with authority, cleansed the temple, did these things, and here these religious fellows. And you have to take into account who these men were. They were the chief priests. They were the chief priests. They were the scribes. They were the fellows that translated the scriptures, wrote them out from the original and so forth. And they were the elders. They were the leaders of religion of that day. They said, now, by what authority do you do this? Who gave you the authority to do what you're doing, say what you're saying? And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask of you one question. You've asked me a question. By what authority do I do what I'm doing? I'm going to ask you a question. One question. And you answer me. You answer me. When I ask you this question, you answer me. And then I'll tell you. I'll reveal to you my authority. I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. I'm going to ask you a question. Here's the question. The baptism of John. John the Baptist came preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let the mountains be made level and the low places high and rough places smooth. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Repent and be baptized. Confess your sins. Look for the Messiah. He was the forerunner of Christ. Now, the Lord says to them, the baptism of John, the message of John, was it from heaven or is it of me? Answer me. Answer me, he said. And they reasoned. And this is what religious fellows do. They don't bow. They reason. They don't submit. They reason. You know, when God speaks, you hear and you obey and you bow and you submit. But not natural man's religion. He reasons. He's going to weigh this thing and debate it and consider it. God said, Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house and from among thy kindred and go to a place I'll show thee. And by faith he went. He didn't reason. He left, not knowing where he was going. Abraham, take thine only son, thy son Isaac, to the top of the mountain and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham didn't sit around and think, well, now what's Sarah going to say if I do that? This is her only child. He didn't sit down and think, well, what the heathen nation's going to say? They sacrifice their children to their gods, and here I take my son and sacrifice, and I've condemned everything they've said and done. Now, what are they going to say? Lord, now, wait a minute. Let's talk this over. No, sir. He obeyed God. He said, I have a question. You answer me, and I'll tell you. So they reasoned with themselves, and here's what they were reasoning. They said, now, if we say that John's doctrine and John's message and John's declaration and John's baptism is from heaven, he's going to say, then why didn't you believe him? If you'll pause just a moment and turn to Luke 7. Hold that right there now. Turn to Luke 7. These are the very fellows. Turn to Luke 7, verse 29. Luke 7:29. Here's John preaching. And Luke 7:29 says this, and all the people that heard John, and the publicans, the sinners, sinful people, justified God. In other words, they said what God's saying is truth. God says we're sinners, and that's true. That's what we are. They justified God. That's what David did in Psalm 51. He justified God. He said, God's right. In every accusation and charge that God brings against me, God is right. Clear when he judges, just when he condemns. They justified God. Listen. And were baptized with the baptism of John. They went down in the water. They said, we're sinners. We're dying to the old way. We're rising to walk with God. They were picturing also the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ who is to come, who is there. And they were baptized with John. But, look at the next verse. But, the Pharisees, steeped in tradition, steeped in religion, confirmed in their theology, and lawyers, debaters of religion, rejected the counsel of God. When they rejected John's message, they rejected God. When they rejected John's declaration, they rejected God's counsel. Listen, God's counsel against themselves. They were rejecting the fact they were sinners. They said, we be not sinners. We be not in misery. And we be not in condemnation. We have one God, one Father, God Almighty. We have Abraham and Moses. And they would not be baptized of John. Oh, I had to go back to my text. Go back to my text. And the Lord Jesus said, I have one question. You answer that question. I'll tell you by what authority I do what I do. John's baptism, John's message, was it from heaven or was it from me? And they reasoned. And they said, now if we say it's from heaven, if we say it's of God, he's going to say, why didn't you believe him? Why wouldn't you be baptized then? Verse 32. But if we say John's message was not of God, it's of men, of the earth. They feared the people. They said the people All people counted John that he was a prophet indeed. They said, the people are going to rise up against us. We're going to lose our grip. We're going to lose our position. We're going to lose our power and authority over the people. What are they going to do? So verse 33 tells me what they did. And they answered and said, we don't know. We can't tell. We cannot tell. We refuse to answer. We refuse to face your question and deal with it honestly. We refuse to say, whether it's of God or of me. And the Lord Jesus answered and said to them, then neither do I tell you. By what authority I do these things? You'll go on in your darkness, in your blindness, and in your confusion, because you won't take a stand. Now, I encounter this position. This is the natural man's religious position. This is traditional position. Traditional religious people, it's their position. I encounter this all the time as I try to preach the free grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign grace of God. You know my message. You know my message. Last week, I mentioned this last Sunday, I preached a message on television. I think it was a pivotal message. I think it was a message for the hour in which I declared what the Scripture says. If God loves everybody without exception, then what does the love of God have to do with our salvation? If God wills the salvation of every human being, if the Almighty, Eternal, Omnipotent God desires and wills and wishes the salvation of all men, then what does the will of God have to do with salvation? Nothing. If Jesus Christ died on the cross and cleansed and redeemed and paid the debt of every human being without exception, what does the blood have to do with my salvation? If the Holy Spirit knocks at every heart's door, tries to call everybody and can't, then what's the Holy Spirit got to do with salvation? And I received an interesting letter. This person who wrote this letter may be here today. I do not know, because I answered it. But I'm just going to read you part of it. And this person is a very religious person. It says in the letter that they've been a member of the church where they go since 1957. That's 33 years. This person has a position in a religious organization, secretary treasurer, high up, not in the church, in another organization. And this person says, your teaching today on the television was the most complete on his power, in capital letters, his power and his will that I have ever heard. Thank you for telling what God has revealed to you. God will bless you for sharing what he has taught you. Most of the time, when you're on television, I'm seated in my Sunday school in church where I attend. And I'm listening to a hard-lined, free-will Baptist preacher. He knows nothing of the sovereignty of God. I've been a member there since 1957, 33 years. I hear him preach things constantly that grieve the Holy Spirit. He puts too much emphasis on man. So I wrote, this is what gave birth to this message, the same thing my Lord said. I wrote to this person, and I said, I'd be interested to know how you can sit all these years and listen to a man who preaches man's will and not God's will. How can you be identified with and support and attend where you say the man hates the sovereignty of God and puts emphasis on man and grieves the Holy Ghost? Please write me and tell me how you can do it. I'm waiting to hear. And here's the position right here. We declare. Also, there's an I could give you several instances of this. There's a man up in Richwood, West Virginia, who listens to me every Sunday and orders tapes regularly and sends donations. And I wrote to a friend who lives in Richwood, and I said, look this man up, because he says what I'm saying is true. And I think you two fellas ought to get together, because both of you believe the same the way he wrote me this way. Said, I looked him up. But said, where he attends church, they don't believe anything like we believe. And he's not going to leave. Now, this is, our Lord looked at these people and said, now I'm going to ask you a question. Is this of God or is it of man? Is salvation of the Lord? Is God on the throne? Is God sovereign? Did God elect the people? Did Christ die to redeem his people? Does the Holy Spirit invincibly, irresistibly call men to grace? Do men, by the grace of God, persevere and are kept? Do they? Or is salvation of men and by the will of men and the works of men? Now you answer me. You answer me. You take a stand. And I'll answer you. One other scripture I want you to turn to, John 7. You answer me and I'll answer you. I'll reveal to you some things. By what authority I do what I do. I'll reveal some things to you. But you're going to answer me, he said. Is this of God or is it of men? Turn to John 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them, John 7, 16. My doctrine is not mine. Now, how is he saying that? He said on another occasion, I came to do not my will, but the will of him that sent me. He's God. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He certainly has a will. Of course he does. I came not to do my will, but he's speaking here, John, as the mediator. He's speaking here as the representative. He's speaking here as the man, Christ Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And here when he says in verse 16, my doctrine's not mine. In other words, this is not of man, even the God-man. It's of God. My doctrine's not mine. This is not what seems logical and reasonable to me. I'm speaking as man, as man's representative, as man's redeemer, as our Messiah. He said, my doctrine is his that sent me. That's what Christ is asking these fellows. John's message, John's baptism, was it of men? Is this some concoction and thought of men? Is this some way of men? Or is it from heaven? My doctrine didn't originate here. It originated at the throne of God. Now read on. Now if any man will do God's will, not man's will, God's will. If any man desires and he will sincerely, he wills to do God's will, wills to know God's will, wills to walk in God's will, wills to honor God's will. If he wills to, he'll know. I'll tell him. He'll know of the doctrine. Whether it be of God. Is it of God? Is it from God? Is it from heaven? Or if I speak of myself. That's what I'm saying right here. This person, or the 80 or 90 or 100 we heard from this week, if any of them, I don't care who they are, if they will to know this message, is it from heaven or is it of man? This salvation, is it from heaven or is it of man? This redemption, this life, is it the gift of God or the works of man? If a person wills to know, he'll know. He'll know. I'll answer. He said, you answer me and I'll answer you. Verse 18, he that speaks of himself is seeking his own glory. And that's what churches and preachers are doing right now. They're speaking of themselves and from themselves, and they're seeking their own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, he that's passion and persuasion and desire is to glorify him who sent him. That man's a true man. Christ speaks of himself, and what he says of himself, he says of all his true servants, and no unrighteousness or self-vain glory is in him. But like the Pharisees of old, We preach this gospel of God's glory, the gospel of God's grace, and we back men up. I'll ask you a question. This thing of salvation from Alpha to Omega, this thing of salvation, quickening, calling, regenerating, redeeming, justifying, sanctifying, glorifying, is it from heaven or is it of me? Answer me. Well, you know, live and let live, preacher. You know, I was been in this church since I was a little girl. I teach Sunday school over there, and I believe somebody needs to answer me. Answer me. Is it from God or is it from me? Answer me. Is it from heaven or is it of the earth? Answer me. Well, we can't tell. We won't tell. Now, I have several questions. If you want to, you can take these down. But here's some questions. Our Lord said, I'll ask you a question. You answer me. By his authority, may I ask some questions? Very briefly. The first one is this. It's who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Is he from heaven, totally, completely, or is he of the earth? And this is divided into three parts. Number one, who is Jesus Christ? Now, here's a big word. Who is Jesus Christ essentially? Who is Jesus Christ essentially? Essentially means this, his fundamental nature. That which constitutes his basic being. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? Who is he essentially? Who is he, his fundamental basic nature? Who is he? I'll tell you who he is. He's God. He's God Almighty. Give nothing, take nothing. He's God Almighty. You understand that? He's God Almighty. Yes, he became a man, but he's God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thy throne, O God, is forever. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He's God essentially. Second, not Jesus Christ. Who is he covenantally? Covenantally. Who is he? Now, what's a covenant? Well, a covenant is a, call it a contract if you want, an agreement between two parties. All right? Everyone knows about the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace. Was it between God and Christ, or was it between God and me? Well, I'll tell you who Jesus Christ is covenantally. He's the one with whom that covenant was made. It was made with us in mind. It was made on our behalf. It was made with us reaping the benefits. But it was made totally and completely with him. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You ain't got nothing to do with it. You don't supply any of the requirements. You don't supply any of the conditions. That covenant was made with him. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. It was made with him. God brought back from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam, he made a covenant with him, and he represented us. And you know what happened to that covenant? You know what happened to that fellow? He failed us. But you didn't have anything to do with that covenant, did you? No. But you were included in it, and when he failed, you failed. When he sinned, you sinned. When he died, you died. But in the same manner, there was a covenant of grace made only with the Lord from heaven, the second Adam. I'm telling you the truth. And he represented you. He stood for you. He was your surety. And he fulfilled in his life and death and resurrection, intercession, all that Almighty God will ever require of you and command from you. That's who he is. He's my covenant head. All right, who is he essentially? God Almighty. Yes, he became a man. Yes, he came to the earth. But essentially, in his fundamental basic nature, he's God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And covenantally, Jesus Christ is everything that God designed and commanded and required of His elect and His church and His sheep and His brethren in that covenant, my head fulfilled. He's my righteousness, redemption, sanctification, wisdom. Now, third question, who is He to you? Answer me. Who is He to you? Well, Thomas summed up my feelings. He's my Lord and my God. He's my prophet, priest, and king. He's the only mediator between God and men. He's other foundation no man can lay than that which He laid. He's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He's Lord of lords and King of kings, and He's all in all. He's all I need. Jesus Christ. Well, think you of Christ? That's the question. That's the issue. There are other questions that arise out of His person and work, but that... You see, Christ didn't come as an alternative. Christ didn't come, He never was an alternative. Christ didn't come as a reformer. He didn't come as an example. He came and lived and died and rose again and reigns as a surety, a substitute, a sin offering to enable God to be both just and justifier. You see what we're saying? Answer me. Who is Jesus Christ? And I tell you, when you answer that question, when you answer it as it ought to be answered according to the Word of God, of the glories He'll answer and give to you are indescribable. Isn't that right? If you answer. But you've got to answer it. And it's got to be positively, and it's got to be openly. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If any man confess me before me, and I'll confess him before the Father in heaven. But if you deny me before me, and I'll deny you. There's some other questions that arise out of the person and work of Christ in the light of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There are a lot of other questions. For example, was the fall of man in Adam, was it partial or total? Answer. Now, this is the thing, and I wrote to this dear person. I told you, and I said, I'll be interested to know. I want to know how you can believe both. How you can be identified. It can't be done. It just can't be done. Now, was the fall of man partial or total? If it was partial, then Christ need not come. I'll make it all right. Is man able to turn himself back to God? Well, if he can, Christ need not come. If it's as the preachers today say, salvation's up to you. If it is, why did He die? They say, God's done all He can do, now it's up to you. That's impossible. Do men deserve the love of God? Do they? No. Well, the other side, do they deserve the wrath of God? Yes. Does God owe us a Savior? If God owes us a Savior, Christ is not a gift, He's a debt. Christ, salvation is not by grace, it's by works. Salvation is not sovereign mercy, it's reward. I don't want to weary you with these things, but I'm telling you this, just like these fellas standing there, and they even had their religious robes on. And they're bald phylacteries, you know, and probably the chief priest had his hat on. And they were standing there with their rolls of scripture. And they said to him, by what authority do you do what you do? And he said, I got a question for you. John's message in baptism, was it of God or me? Well, we can't tell. Well, we better tell. We better tell. We better find out about these things. And when we find out, we better raise our flag. My flagpole's broke over there right now. I can't fly my American flag, but I feel so bad. I want it flying right now, especially right now. Well, I watch these demonstrators and burning the American flag. Beg your pardon, I'd like to shoot every one of them. I'm sorry. I'd like to put their scalps around my belt right here. You would too. Some of you fellas went through some things for this, and some of you young men have the same courage and all. Well, if we're willing to stand like that for our nation, can't we stand like that for our God? I believe that's the reason I'm preaching what I'm preaching. They called me from Channel 13 a week or two ago and said, we want you to sit in on a panel to discuss some religious issue with us, with some other preachers. I said, I'll be out of town. I'm going out of town that day, too. But I'm not being contrary. I'm just saying those fellas and I aren't worshiping the same God. There's no way we can talk. I'm not here to discuss God's character. I'm here to preach it. I'm not here to discuss what Christ accomplished. I know what he accomplished. I'm here to preach it. I'm not here to debate whether John's message was of me and of God. It's of God. Salvation's of the Lord. We're not here to debate that. We're not here to sit around council tables and say we cannot tell. I know. It's just we don't have the courage to run that flag all the way up. Say, this is what I know so. Come hell or high water, I'll die for it. Answer me. Answer me. Don't want to weary you, but one final note. And this, honestly, what I'm saying is you've got to answer him. Like they said, well, we can't tell. He said, neither will I tell you. No more. I speak to you no more. But one final note before I close. Salvation. Salvation. Is it from heaven or is it of me? Is it a free, sovereign, wonderful, unspeakable, immeasurable, infinite gift of God? Or is it something we do for ourselves? Salvation in its planning. Who planned it? Did God plan it or did man plan it? The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Who chose him? The elect chosen in Christ before the world began. With whom took he counsel? In his execution, Christ in the Old Testament promised, prophesied, pictures. He came. Who sent him? Did we send for him or did he send him? That death on the cross, was it purposed of God? Was it an accident? In its application, did I regenerate myself or did God? Did I awaken myself or did God? Did I get myself out of the grave or did God? I'm born of God if I'm a believer. You have to quicken who were dead in trespasses and sin. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. That's the gift of God. Right now, who keeps me in the love of God? I'm kept by the power of God. Even my sustaining power, even my perseverance, I don't do that. He does that. Do you know that? God keeps me. If it left up to me, I'd leave here. And you would too. Yes, sir. Yeah, you would. If it's left up to you, you would. That's right. Well, I tell you, the trials and temptations of Satan and the glitter and glamour of riches and possessions in the world, kept by the power of God, through faith, but by the power of God. And who's going to wind this thing up in its ultimate perfection? Who's going to raise us from the grave and make us like Christ? I'm confident of this, that he that hath begun a good work in you shall finish it in the day of Christ Jesus. It's all of the Lord in his planning, execution, application, sustaining power, ultimate perfection. Answer me! Yes, Lord, it's from heaven. I'll answer. Will you answer? Salvation, our message, is it from heaven or of men? It's from heaven. And whatever the consequences are, whatever the results may be, whatever the cost may be, whatever the price I must pay, as for me and my house, we will serve a sovereign Lord. Is that right, Mike? Is that right, Tom? How about that, Terry? Stand.
old Martin Luther one day, stood there just almost by himself. There wasn't a soul for him. If they were, they didn't tell anybody. But he was surrounded by all these popes and cardinals and bishops and religious powerhouses, and they said, "You deny what you're talking about." He said, "Here I stand. I can do no other. Salvation's of the Lord. 1,000% is from heaven." God will bless that, because he said, "I'll answer you. I'll answer you." And I'll tell you where I got this authority. I know where he got it. He got it from the Father. All right, let's sing a closing hymn and receive an offering and go home. 209, number 209.